Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Rashid Salam, your engineer for today. Just one second, I'm having just a little technical difficulty. I got it. Okay. Welcome to the Parent and the Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. This is Rashid Salam, your engineer. I'd like to bring in your host for today. Here's Mark Shaheed.
Thank you.
Mark, I'm sorry. You had a little technical difficulty here. We got you online.
Okay. Alaykum as-salam to you, Rashid Salam, and to the IWDM radio listening audience. As always, we'd like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. Ashhadu ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. With the name Allah, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, all praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, sustainer, guardian, evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble messenger. And all that follows in an excellent salute to the prophet Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon him. I am Mark Shaheed. I'm the host and the facilitator and the producer of the Parenting and the Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, along with Dr. Patricia Slaudine, that airs here on IWDM Radio each and every Wednesday night here each night at 7 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Central and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast time. And I'd like to welcome you to the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. For those of you who are not familiar with this, we have a couple of staples that we like to always state at the very beginning. And one is that we follow in the direction of our beloved leader, Imam W.D. Muhammad, when he says, In definition is direction. We give a very simplistic but a very profound definition of parenting. We say that parenting is the process of cultivating and nurturing the physical, the moral, the emotional, the rational, the intellectual, the social, and the spiritual development of our children from infanthood to adulthood. Very big assignment for us as parents. And it's not only the role and responsibility of the mother, but also for the father. We also say the role and responsibility of parents is to raise our children up to become leaders and to exemplify leadership qualities first and foremost for themselves, their family, and community. And we say, inshallah, which means God willing, by having that mindset and disposition that we take in terms of how important and significant parenting is, that some world leaders will emerge from that way of thinking. We also say that it is after Allah being the first teacher for all human beings, he gives the honor and distinction to the mother first in being the first teacher and also the first leader, not only for the females, but also for the males. Very, very important. And that paradise lies at the foot of the mother, meaning that she is the one that gives the foundational knowledge for both our baby boys and our baby girls that they may have that much-needed foundation. And so with that being said, we would like to always have an overview or synopsis of the most recent production here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. For those of you who may have missed it, we go to our very distinguished and esteemed co-host and the co-facilitator of the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, my partner, Dr. Patricia Slaudine, Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Salahuddin.
Alaikum assalam, rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Brother Mark. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing fine, alhamdulillah. Always excited about coming back on IWDM Radio for these learning labs. I think they're so critically needed, not only in our community, but for all of humanity, and learning what correct parenting is and how to reconstruct the destructive family life, Dr. Salahuddin.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Family is the core of our community. It's the core of our society. So
yes,
when we got good families, we have good society. So you're so right, yes. Mark.
Yes, alhamdulillah. So if you kind of give us somewhat a little overview of what we talked about last week, and then we'll get right into tonight's topic, which is going to be on teachability. Tonight, as we'll be going to the textbook that we've used for some time here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, that's authored by Dr. John C. Maxwell, the 21 Indispensable Essential Qualities of a Leader. So after your synopsis of last week and whatever you thought was noteworthy, then our radio listening audience can take notes on that. And then for the rest of the production of last week, they can actually go online to IWDM Radio and they can get the whole of last week's production. Dr. Salahuddin.
Okay, thank you, Mark. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, the most gracious, most merciful. During our episode number 5, we provided a synopsis of the effective qualities of parenting discussed in the previous episodes. And the qualities are, I'm going to cover those qualities for our interview, our overview. The qualities are patience. Patience is a normal attribute of mothers. The Creator gives them patience to care for the children from conception through young adulthood and beyond. Fathers are also equipped with patience. The ability to model upright moral behavior. Modeling is the number one effective method of teaching. Children see what we do more so than they hear what we say. Positive attitude. Displaying a positive attitude reflects on the child's behavior as well as the child's attitude. It is helpful to teach children how to see the positive aspect of a situation to obtain a positive attitude. Attention. Giving children attention helps them feel secure and to bond with parents. With attention comes the activities that we provide for them to stimulate their minds and cultivate their curiosity. Affection. Being affectionate with children helps them to show affection as well. Because we are social beings, the social scientist reports that a human being needs at least 4 hugs a day. And an acronym that Brother Mark came up with for hugs is Help Me to Grow Strong. We can conclude that giving affection can help a child develop into a strong individual. Responsive. Be responsive to children in a thoughtful way as not to shut them out or shut them down. Be aware of children's needs and respond to them accordingly. Remember that Allah responds to us and provide us with all we need to respond to our children. Responsibility. We are responsible for our children in many respects, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. It is the parents' responsibility to provide opportunities for children to develop spiritually. In the case of a Muslim child, parents should teach them our traditions and help them to internalize Islamic values. Listening. There are 5 styles of listening. Empathetic listening is the highest form of listening. It involves attempting to understand the feelings and emotions of the speaker. Another form is attentive listening, which is careful listening and observation of nonverbal cues with feedback in the form of accurate paraphrasing. The other forms of listening that we want to avoid are, well, I should restate that. The other three forms of listening are the ones that we want to avoid. Ignoring, selective listening, and pretending to listen. Those are the ones we do not want to use with our children. Encouragement. Give words of encouragement. We want our children to evolve into productive, healthy adults. The words they hear will shape them. Natural role model. Parents are the natural role model for their children. Although Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, is the role model for mankind, our children usually interact with the parents first, and they should see the impact of the Prophet's moral behavior and character traits in the parents, especially during the formative years. Children are watching and listening. Teaching. Teaching is one of the innate duties of a parent. The type of teacher and the method of teaching is important to note. Being a compassionate teacher as a parent is one who listens, is aware of the child's needs, and teaches the child accordingly. An effective method of teaching a child is teaching the child through creation. Doing so will cultivate the natural curiosity of the child and initiate questions that can be later explored to broaden the child's mind. In conclusion, these are the qualities of parenting. Qualities that we expect will develop in our children when they experience them through us, the parent. We reiterate that all of the above qualities apply to the fathers equally as to mothers. Those are the qualities of effective parenting discussed in the last episode, Mark. Back to you.
Alhamdulillah. I say takbir, Allahu Akbar, alhamdulillah. Excellent job always, Dr. Patricia Sloan Dean, in giving us a very, I would say, detailed summary of some of the keynote things. You know, I just want to make a couple of comments before we actually get into tonight's subject on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab in regards to attentive listening. It may seem a little ironic, but attentive listening is when a person is just paying attention only to the words, to what is being said. About 55%, all communication is nonverbal, which meaning body language, 55%, you know. So oftentimes you can tell much about a person in terms of the body language in which the person in whom you're speaking to, 55%, the social scientists say. About 35% is the tone of voice. This is why the tone of voice, how a person uses their voice, can have a great impact in terms of communication. So if you're doing the math here, you got 55 and you got 35, which comes up to 90%. And we know for something to behold is 100%, it only leaves about 10% in the words that are being used. You know, for example, the mother tells Hassan to go upstairs and clean up your room. And he says, okay, mama, I'm going. Okay. And then the other way she tells Hassan to go upstairs and clean up your room. He says, okay, mom, I'm going to clean my room. Could say the same words, but to listen to the tone of voice. So the communication is that of resistance, you see, or maybe you're irritating me by telling me to go upstairs and clean up my room. So tone of voice is very, very important. And sometimes in communication, only thing that is perceived or received by the receiver, what the sender is giving, is just the words, but not the tone of voice, not the body language. It was very important in communications, you know, that we receive all of that. So empathic listening, as Dr. Patricia Salawuddin said, that we said last week, is the highest form of listening, because not only do I understand what it is that you're saying, but I feel you, meaning that I'm really in tune to you. The other thing that I wanted to say, to add something to this synopsis, is that if we look at all of these qualities and characteristics in this acronym, it all leads to bonding. Bonding, very, very important, as we gave the acronym for the word bonding here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, which I think is a gold nugget if you can use it. You want to build on natural development in nurturing growth. So whenever you're building something, you want to have a foundation. You want to have a foundation, as we stated earlier, that as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, that paradise lies at the foot of the mother. She has the honor and distinction of being the first teacher and the first leader for both the females and the males. And so in this bonding process, having these qualities and having these characteristics, and this also includes the fathers too, you understand, there is something that naturally will develop in those formative years. And then you'll be able to build on that as our children grow and they develop, and they evolve, you know, not only in terms of its physical beings, but also, more importantly, moral beings, or as emotional beings, you know, growing in terms of emotional intelligence. Very, very important. Growing as a rational being, as an intellectual being. We're watching the growth and development, but the bonding is very important because we can build on what naturally develops, as Dr. Salawuddin has said. The importance, you understand, of being patient, having a positive attitude, showing affection, being attentive, being responsive, being responsible, encouraging, you see, being a natural role model, being a thoughtful teacher. All of these things are essential qualities. These are not only the only qualities, but these are essential qualities that help in the nurturing and the cultivating. And what naturally develops from that is the type of human being that Almighty God, Allah, wants. For each generation, there should be an improvement. There should be a progression. This is very, very important. I hadn't said this, but Allah put it on my heart and spirit to make sure that we say this, that we want to see each generation in a progressive way, not in a regressive way. So that means that we have a whole lot of work to do. If we have to talk about what the past used to be and how good the past was, but we are saying that the present, that we see no progression in that, then that means that we need to go back to square one. We need to go back and understand and realize the importance and the significance in parenting. And this is what the motivation, the inspiration that Allah put on my heart years ago, to say, how do we make a change? How do we really remake the world? Where does it start? It starts with the first social unit, as Dr. Salawuddin said, which is the family life. This is so very important. I'm hoping that you not only understanding me, but you're really feeling me and you're using empathic listening. This is how important it is. Because if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us the life, as he's given us the life, which is a life of purity and innocence in the baby, and if we're not conscious, God-conscious parents, in understanding that Allah has given every child a potential, something very, very special, in nurturing and cultivating that in the various components of their life, how important that is, and that we will be a big factor in terms of what our children may become, how they see themselves. This is so very important, dear believers. And we want to say to you that this is your learning. So Dr. Salahuddin and myself, we encourage you to press 1 if you have any questions or any comments about anything that you've heard us say on the Learning Lab tonight or on previous Learning Labs. We'd like to hear from you, and you can do that by pressing 1. And if the information is good and it's resonating with you, we'd like for you to press 1 also. So, Dr. Salahuddin, with nothing else to be said in regards to that, you did an excellent job. I just wanted to make those little addendums there because I thought it was so very, very important to say those things so that we can always, as parents, utilize the best of listening, empathic listening, and just see that some of those other styles of listening are not the best form of listening, but sometimes we ignore our children, and sometimes we pretend that we're listening, and we're really not. And sometimes we just do selective listening. We just select what it is we want to hear. So we want to turn to the 20th of the 21 indispensable essential qualities from the text book that we've been using for almost close to 2 years now, Dr. John C. Maxwell. And these principles and qualities, dear believers, if you haven't heard them before, before it's all said and done on subsequent episodes here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, we will go through all of them in a short synopsis on some of the things that we covered over the years. As the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab is fast approaching come January 2022, it would be our 5th anniversary on national and international radio. So Dr. Salahuddin, we talk about in the 21 indispensable essential qualities of a leader, teachability, which I know is very, very important. And we always like to approach it from an Islamic perspective first and foremost before even referencing the book of Dr. John C. Maxwell, which he has a lot of excellent information in terms of teachability. But looking at it from the Quran, Dr. Salahuddin, we see that Allah is revealing to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he is the one that taught Adam, the first of human beings. He taught Adam the name and the nature of all things. He created the creation, and then he taught the last of his creation, which is the human being. And he gave the human being something very, very special in terms of the aql, which is translated to human brain or the human intellect. He said, well, how did he teach him? If God is not a person, how did he teach him? Well, he teaches him through natural creation. And also, when man has gone off course, he's taught him through revelation. You know, and this is what happened with Adam when Adam became unconscious and he slipped in terms of forgetting what God had commanded him to do. This is very important to know that Allah has made us teachable. So, Dr. Salahuddin, you know, when you think about teachability, this is very, very important because when we look at the rest of creation, we look at the celestial bodies as they're under law. They don't have any freedom or free will to decide to do anything other than to be in compliance with the law that Allah has put them under. And when we study that, that's how many things, you know, can be forecast if you want to, or even predicted somewhat. And even Allah tells us in the Quran in terms of the sun and the moon, in terms of its accuracy, even the Hijra calendar is based on the lunar, as I said, the lunar calendar based on the moon. And it's very, very accurate, 354 days each year in that. And our prayers and all, you understand, are based on the positioning of the sun. Very, very accurate. And then we look at the animal life, where animals are under instinct. They can't go outside of that instinct. So it's not like you see an evolution or even an inspiration or aspiration, if you will, Dr. Salaluddin, in terms of any of the animals being inspired or aspiring to want to be a political figure or to be an educator or any other professional person. But the human being being very unique and being very teachable and in the original nature, seeing the natural curiosity. Dr. Salaluddin, when you think about teachability in terms of what it is that Allah has revealed to us in the Quran in terms of saying that he taught Adam, didn't say anybody else, that he taught Adam. What does that mean to you, and how important is that to say that for generations and generations and generations to come to know that the human being, the baby that comes here, is very teachable, and this should be a staple quality for the rest of our life until we no longer have a physical presence. Dr. Salaluddin?
Well, Mark, Adam represents mankind, and Allah also tells us in the Quran that he created mankind from one soul. So we are all a part of Adam. So if Allah taught Adam, he was teaching us as well. It's implanted in us, Allah's creation, the ability to acquire knowledge. It's a part of who we are. It's a part of our nature. And this teaching is not independent of our Creator, though. He teaches man, Allah teaches man what man does not know, and this is done through the prophets and the creation, as you've alluded to earlier. To be teachable enabled the human being to learn the wonders and truths that our Creator has provided for us. And can you imagine a child that is open to this command of learning that Allah has given us? And it's our responsibility as parents to awaken that in the child and to cultivate that. It comes, it's natural, it's there, and it's our responsibility as parents to make sure that it's fed, that it's nurtured, that it's cultivated, that it's fostered, that ability to learn, ability to acquire knowledge, the ability to reason. And that's our job, and I think it's a very, very important job because, as you mentioned earlier, about continuation of our lives, we don't live forever, but we live, but our children and their children, and you know, that's how we continue. And it's important that we do our part for that child that we have responsibility for. And the child comes here teachable. We have to do our part in making sure they get taught. Those are my thoughts on that.
Alhamdulillah. Excellent. You know, Dr. Salaluddin, when we think about Adam, as you say, all of humanity, all of humankind, and this has been for all times. Allah didn't just create this creation without evolving it. So it's needed and necessary for. As in biblical scripture, it refers to the human being or as man, what we call humanity, as being the crown of creation. So very important, you know, that the whole of creation, as Imam Muhammad has said, that was created for the use as a utility for his human creation. So how would he be able to utilize it? How would he be able to benefit from it if, in fact, the man was not given the provisions to be able to engage this natural creation? This is very important.
Right.
And then he also, as human beings, we are a natural creation too. We are part of this natural creation. We are part of this universe that Allah has created. And he has put in us what is called a fitra, an original nature. And there's many components in this original nature. And one of those components is natural curiosity, to want to know, you know, not only to have the means or the tool to engage the creation, but to have the drive to want to know. This is one of the things that's referred to in the soul as the fujool. Allah speaks about that in Surah Al-Shams of the Quran, when he talks about the two components, the fujool and also the taqwa. That becomes the fujool being the rational nature, the drive in the soul of the human being to want to know, to want to learn. As oftentimes that's misinterpreted as something in terms of being wrong, but it is a utility that Allah has given to us as human beings. This is why it's so very important for those who are God-conscious parents to know that this is part of Allah's creation. The baby just don't come here and we say, oh, the terrible twos, they're bad. No, they are exploring. They are, you know, engaging in their immediate surroundings. They want to know. There's an innocence that's there that can and will remain with them, and they're not guilty of anything. They may get into situations because of that curiosity, but this is where the parenting comes in, whereas that they have to have moral guidance in terms of right and wrong. They have to be taught this. And for us to know and realize, to understand that as parents, we have to be giving them some type of guidance. You know, we go back to the garden again. And by the way, Imam W.D. Muhammad, you know, in teaching us as his students, he said that you have two gardens. One is the universe. Take note of that. One is the universe. That's the big garden. And then we also have another garden, and that garden is the soul. And each one, you understand, we are to engage in the garden. So we get the narrative in the Quran, whereas, and also in biblical scriptures, said a little bit differently, that you can eat of any of the trees of the garden. We're not talking about food here. In scriptural language, food means knowledge. You can partake of any of the knowledge, any of the sciences, you know, that we have extrapolated from the natural creation. But this tree here, the forbidden tree, is off limits, the tree of good and evil, so which actually tells us in both Bible and Quran that this is not a real tree that you look and say, but the analogy in the use of a tree to illustrate a point to us, meaning that in terms of determining what is right and what is wrong, having a moral compass to be able to make that determination and distinction, coming to the conclusion, God is saying, don't eat of that. Don't even go near. What does it mean by don't even go near? Don't even start thinking that you have that type of ability. You'll only be able to engage in terms of having a moral consciousness only with my guidance, only with my guidance. And we look at the relationship in terms of parents and children. Children need the guidance in terms of seeing what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is bad. We see this repeated all over again. How many times have we said to our child, don't touch the stove is hot, okay? Look what's in the natural, look what is in the original nature, the curiosity. Okay, so when we say hot, words make people. Okay, so that child eventually usually is going to touch that stove. And what's going to happen? It's going to be so hot, it's going to burn it all out. And then they're going to say what? Hot. Yeah, I told you it was hot. Then he said hot. Now, this may seem insignificant, but at that point, they are actually learning. And so this process goes on throughout the life of our children in terms of actually learning. And we should be helping them to become acquainted with the natural world, the natural creation. We should be helping them to become familiar with themselves. Who are we? What is it that God has created here? To have a better understanding of themselves, to be teachable, and to always want or have a desire, the thirst for actually learning. Dr. Salaudin, should we ever feel as though that we are satisfied that we've learned enough, we know everything, or what? Should that drive stay with us? What? You know, some people are like, I'm out of school. It's like, I finally graduated. I'm not going to pick up a book. I'm not going to explore. I'm not going to go anywhere. I don't want to learn anything different. What do you think happens, you understand, if in fact that a child grows up, you understand, and thinking that because I graduated, and of course you have a PhD, and so I guess I could just ask you the question direct. Do you think that because you have a PhD that you have reached the pinnacle in terms of learning, or is there still much more to learn? Dr. Salaudin, are you there?
Yes, I'm sorry. I had myself on mute.
Okay.
Yeah, I definitely know. I am, if I told you the rundown of my date, my schedule, the answer, you would immediately know the answer to that is no. I do not feel that I have learned enough. I'm still learning. And I guess the mere fact I even pursued getting a doctorate was because I felt I needed to know more. I want to know whatever there is to know about education, I want to know it. I want to learn it. So therefore, I pursued it. I've always taken that. That's always been my attitude about life. I need to learn as much as I can. And I think children, and I've met children like that. They're just searching for more information. And but I think what has happened and what worries me today is that children are getting information, but what kind, and because their curiosity is there for them, it's just natural. But what kind of information are they getting? You know, what's the curriculum? And the world is giving them information because the world has a curriculum for them. But is that the best curriculum for them? Is that the best thing for them? And that's something that worries me, that about children, about my children, my grandchildren more so than my children, about grandchildren. When they're doing so much time on the computer, on their phones, what is the information? Is this information really beneficial to them? You know, so the children are curious, and they are constantly seeking information. It's a part of their nature to be curious. But we as the parent. Is responsible for putting them in the environment that that they can exercise their curiosity, and at the end or the result of their exercise is something positive, is something moral, is something that they can use to help improve the community that they live in, the conditions of the people that they live with. You know, this is what concerns me in terms of knowledge and gathering knowledge and seeking knowledge. And now there are some children who feel that we call it the set mind, the growth mindset is when they constantly looking and seeking and gaining knowledge. But then there's some people are set in their ways and say, okay, I got this. You don't have to tell me anything else. We were canoeing. We went canoeing with a group of children. And we were trying to you give instructions. You get in the canoe, you get your life jacket on, and you get in the canoe. But you get instructions before you go out. And one of the young men, was two of them in the canoe, and the instructor, the leader was given, the counselor was given instructions, and he said, I got this. Like, okay, is this enough? You told me enough. I got it. So as he was rowing out, he was headed right into the bushes, right into the pole. Okay, you got to realize that you didn't get it. So you didn't have that information. You could have gotten more, and that would have helped you to canoe yourself in the right direction. So, yeah, that answer to that question is no. We never have enough information. We always there's always more to learn.
Yes, alhamdulillah. So I think it would be safe to say that we'll forever be students and we'll forever be studying and we should forever be learning. And I think that this is a very important message to always to impart to our children from early on, you know, that you should always, always be a student. You should always be studying. You should always want to be learning. Never lose that desire. Never lose the thirst for wanting to know. But also, I think, Dr. Sloan Dean, very important that what it is that we receive that is correct knowledge, the application of that in our own life where it benefits us, but it also will benefit a family, also our neighborhoods, our communities, and humanity at large. This is very, very important. The Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to make dua. He used to pray for beneficial knowledge, useful knowledge. He didn't want to have knowledge that was not useful, but that couldn't and wouldn't benefit others. And I think that when we look at teachable, in terms of being teachable, the Prophet Muhammad was very teachable. And his desire to want a better life than the conditions which surrounded him, we say jahiliya, that of ignorance, not knowing. People who were exercising and displaying ignorance. Now, he didn't know in terms of what the solution, what the answer was, but his heart really reflected in terms of his intentions, his motivation for trying to and wanting to, straining to receive some type of answer, or to be maybe inspired with something. And Imam Muhammad said that this is one of the things that why it was revealed on his heart, because he had the right intention, the right motivation, but he also emptied himself out in terms of whatever he thought that this may be the answer or that may be the answer or how he felt about it. So he was a perfect vessel to deposit the final revelation to humanity in him. And so sometimes, you know, so he was talking about this person that obviously that thought they knew how to really properly steer, you know, in canoeing, that had they listened and just not tried to go on what it was that they thought that they knew, they perhaps could have learned something ever better, something better, and they would have done a better job. So this is something that I learned early on from my mother once in terms of telling her on my first job as I was subbing for her, you know, when she asked me how was it going, and the owners of this ice cream parlor, that was my first job, and I was able to stand in for her while she had an operation. And I think she put my age up a little bit, but I was, believe it or not, I was very smart, very apt, A student in math all the way throughout school, honor student. And so she sold them on hiring me in her place while in the summertime she had to have surgery. And they paid me what they was paying her an hour. At that time, it was $1.35 an hour. And so I worked out so well, long story short, they decided to keep me and just paid me $1 an hour, you know. And all. And so when she asked me how was it going, I said, it's going good, Mom. I said, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Sinar, they always trying to tell me this, and I tell them I know. And they trying to tell me that, I said, I know. And they trying to tell me this, I said, I know. My mother said, stop. I said, but Mama, she said, stop. I said, but Mom, you understand? She said, yes, I do understand. She said, stop. She said, whenever they're trying to tell you something, you listen to them. I said, but Mom, she said, stop. She said, son, you may know, but if you listen, you may get to know more than what it is that you know. But if you give people the impression that you know, or you know everything, then they might not give you something that could be beneficial or helpful. I always remember that lesson that she taught me. So we always should see ourselves as being teachable. And this is one of the, I would say, big qualities of being a leader. You know, so as you grow up, you know, and it's good that if we can have moments, you know, Dr. Swaldeen, with our children in terms of bonding, whereas that we can learn something from them and we're not too proud to say, you know what? And I tell my children all the time, you know, there's a lot that they know that I don't know, especially when it comes to social media. I say, wow, you know, I'll call them up and say, so ask them different questions. I say, wow, you know, I knew that you would know. I said, thank you. I really appreciate that. I learned something today. Let them know that I learned something from you. I think when we can have those type of moments, Dr. Swaldeen, with our children, they're very valuable. We don't want to forget about our radio listening audience. So, Rashid Salam, do we have anybody out there with their hands up?
No, sir. No one with their hands up.
Oh, wow. So, well, let me know if you have your hands up.
All right, no problem.
Which is that comment. Sister
Patricia.
Yes.
Alaikum salam, Brother Rashid.
Yeah, so, you know, Dr. Salahuddin, you know, in our raising of our children, I think it's important for them to at some point see and realize that we've helped to raise them up to a certain point, but then that we can learn something from them. I often joke, and in a jokingly way, said I was one of my children's teachers, but I was also a student of theirs. How important is that, do you think, Dr. Salahuddin, when we can honestly, with integrity, not lie to our children, but can say something to them, whereas that now we've learned something from them? How important is that, do you think, for us to be able to do that?
Well, actually, yeah, because it's important because it gives you, you're serving as a role model. So if you can do it and the child sees you doing it, then they can do it too. They know that they won't have a problem admitting that they don't know something, or admitting that they learned something from someone else that, well, they say younger than they say they learned something from their younger sibling.
Yes.
You know, if they see you doing it, and it's not a big issue for you to do it. Then remember, we're constantly being a role model, and the children see us and
yes.
they see what we do. So
yeah.
it's very important that we do that because we'll, mm-hmm. we are a role model.
Yes, and you know. Years ago, I did an acronym for the word leader, and we know how leader is actually spelled. But that L in leader stands for listening, but it's listening to others. But first and foremost, I have to say this on the Learning Lab that is very important, and I'll give you a Quranic reference for this, is that we should listen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first. When we say in terms that Allah is the one that teaches us, okay, so we've already talked about the natural creation, how he teaches us. So Allah tells us in Surah 42, Ash-Shura, he begins that ayah by saying, and those who hearken unto their Lord, stop. What do we mean? But those who hearken, those who listen, but who respond to their Lord. So when, you know, even if we're not so adept in the Quranic Arabia, there's much to be said in terms of even the word usage. And if we began to study even words in the English language, you know, when we look up the word hearken, it means to listen attentively. It means not only to listen attentively, but also to be responsive. It goes back to one of those qualities of a parent. But very, very important that we do that first and foremost. This is very important in terms of if this quality is raised up in us, and now we become adults, and we become a leader. And just because we're the leader, that doesn't mean that that you're not teachable anymore. So what is one of the criteria in terms of how is it that when you become a leader and how effective can you be as a leader if, in fact, you're not a good listener? Very important. And when we study the life example of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we see that he was a very excellent leader. He was a very excellent leader, and he was an excellent listener. He listened. He followed what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him. And when they made decisions, as the Quran was revealed to him, in that same surah, it goes then to establish and hearken to those who hearken to their Lord, and then establish regular prayer. Mm-hmm. And each the prayer is actually a ritual that is to be reflected in the social life, in those different various positions in the prayer, and even how we line up, how we have to be in touch with each other, how we line up straight to be straight, you see. And even in the recitation of the Quran, in the Qiyam position, in the upright position, that is what keeps us upright. But even when we stand it, we are listening to our recitation, whether it be audible or whether it be silent. You see, this is very important. And then God says, also, and this is ayah 38 of the Quran. I didn't give that 42:38. And conduct all of your affairs through amrahum shurabainahum, mutual consultation. So this also, you know, Dr. Salahuddin, this also requires that we have to be a good listener, because the prerequisites for mutual consultation is to have mutual respect. Any reflections you'd like to have on that? Because, you know, even though you could have leaders, they'd all be sitting there and say, okay, you're a leader, I'm a leader, this person's a leader, this person's a leader. Then what if one is so arrogant to think that I have to be the leader for everyone when God has already said in the Quran to conduct your affairs through mutual consultation? Dr. Slaudine, how important is this quality in terms of listening, in terms of being teachable? I can't see that you could be teachable without being a good listener.
So you imagine sitting in the classroom, you can't listen to the professor. You know, you're so busy telling him how much you know. So, yeah, so you and I got to get too much out of that class because, yeah, you're right, listening is a very important part of learning, being quiet,
mm-hmm.
listening. And if we're in, you mentioned the mutual consultation, you know, yeah, I have been in meetings where there have been people who felt they were the smartest person in the room. So
you could tell.
On this call, and see, they've been in that situation where they have there's been a person in the meeting who thought they were the smartest person in the room, and no one else knew more than they did, and they knew everything. So that can be definitely a stopping point for learning. And
mm-hmm.
we can learn from the human being if the human being is open. The human
yes.
being is constantly learning. Because Allah has put that in you. You know,
yes.
Allah has given it's just a part of who you are. If
mm-hmm.
you sit still in a room and quiet and listen, you can learn something.
Mm-hmm.
If you are outside and sitting in the elements of sitting outside, you can learn something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're always open to learning. That is, if your mind
mm-hmm.
allows you to do that. But your ability to do it is there because Allah has put it there. It is
yes.
natural. So
yes.
We really could go very far, all of us, if we had that attitude that I can learn from you and you can learn from me and we can learn from everybody and there's something
yes.
you've got that I can learn and that I can benefit from because Allah has given you something different.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes, we got
yes.
intellect. Yes, we got spirit. Yes, we got flesh. We're all the same in that regard. But the level of it and what I have done with mine may not have been what you've done with yours. And if I listen to you, I may be able to improve mine because
yes.
you've done a little bit more with yours. So
it's
mm-hmm. a lot of learning, a lot of ability for us to learn from each other. And if we actually embrace that,
mm-hmm.
could you imagine how far we could be or could go? If we just
I thought about
that
before,
that
Dr. Slaudine.
Yeah. If we embrace that idea of I can learn from you and we can learn from each other and just it's amazing what can be done. And then we teach children how to do that. And we just have this a wonderful growing because it's all about
yes.
growth.
Yes,
and we can
yes.
grow from that
yes.
experience. It's just wonderful.
You know, time passes so fast, especially when you're enjoying yourself, and we're hoping that our radio listening audience here on IWDM Radio and those who listen across the country that you actually are receiving something from the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, and hopefully, I want to always thank my very distinguished, esteemed partner here, Dr. Patricia Slaudine, as each and every Wednesday here, she shares her knowledge, her wisdom, and insight on the various topics that we have here, and hopefully you're taking good notes and all. And even though you're silent tonight and no callers or anything, hopefully that some of the things that Dr. Slaudine and myself have said, it really resonated with you tonight here. And we want to say that next week, that's right, you won't be with us next week, but don't fear. We have another very distinguished, esteemed co-host that here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, our beloved sister, I like to call her Dr. Nadja Abdul.
No, yeah, she's quite knowledgeable. So
she's very knowledgeable.
You're not wrong.
And I'm looking forward to her being with us, because as it was last month, we had technical difficulties and she wasn't able to get on. But we'll continue to pursue this topic of teachability, and we'll probably be on it for a couple of few weeks. And then in 2 weeks, we'll have Dr. Patricia Slaudine back with us, inshallah, and we will continue to talk about this. I want to thank you so much, Dr. Slaudine. It's always an excellent, excellent job here on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, and may Allah continue to bless you richly. May God's peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.
Amen. Wa alaikum salam.
Alhamdulillah. So there you have it in the first hour here, the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, with our very distinguished and esteemed co-host, Dr. Patricia Slaudine, as she shares insight and wisdom each and every Wednesday here on IWDM Radio, the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And just before we move to the MGM Roundtable, that is the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, just want to alert our radio listening audience that we ask that you always stay tuned on IWDM Radio for the Sister Learning Lab, which is the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And that'll happen tomorrow with my very distinguished, esteemed co-host, none other than Karan Shakir from the Jewel of the South, the ATL, there in Atlanta, Georgia, will be joining me on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And we will be utilizing the text, Muslim Marriage Makeover, Modeling Muhammad the Prophet and Making Waves in Your Marriage with the Ripple Effect. There's a lot of information on that learning lab also, so we ask that you do tune in to that tomorrow night. And that's 7 p.m. for those in the Eastern Standard Time Zone, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time Zone, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. And with no further ado, I want to introduce my very distinguished, esteemed guest for the MGM Roundtable, right here from the STL, Imam Wali Fakan, very distinguished author, longtime member in this community, and his third publication, and his title, Read. A very interesting publication of his and all. And so with no further ado, I'd like to extend the greetings of peace to Imam Wali Fakan. Assalamu alaikum to you, brother Imam.
Wa alaikum assalam, my friend.
Alhamdulillah. It's an honor to have you back here on the round table. Last time it was the CWSC round table. We just changed venues. And so now it's the MGM round table, the Muslim Global Message round table. And, when you came with your... This is your third production that you have in terms of SAY, and you authored two other publications and all. I know that some of the radio listening audience may be familiar with who Imam Wali Fakan is, but I know we always have new listeners because I'm always inviting new people to listen in, and I always like to give my guests just maybe say 2 or 3 minutes or so for them just to introduce themselves. Who is Imam Wali Fakan? Once again, welcome to the MGM Roundtable. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, and thank you very much, Mark. I am a member of the Masjid here in St. Louis, Masjid Al-Mukminun. I've been a member here since the early 70s. I am a student of Imam Wati Muhammad. Ready to Love, who and who. We are, I've been in the community actively involved in prison ministry, my wife and I. We've had six children, so five of them to go through the Carter Muhammad school system, and they have done exceedingly well. I've made Hajj. I've been married for 48 years. I have my wife, Greta, but I have a second wife, Binna Muhammad Fakan. So I'm actively involved, still actively involved, been involved ever since I came into community and education, prison ministry, things of that nature.
Yes. And I can say I bear witness to all you say is true. He's always been, since I've known him, been a very active member in our community and always making very positive contributions. And so I wanted to invite you back, as I've had you on the roundtable before, and want to just say to our radio listening audience that we always want to have very distinguished, sustained people in our association, and that'd be the Association of Imam W.D. Muhammad, but also those who are outside the association that are making great contributions, and we take on topics that are pertinent to us as a community. So, you know, Imam Wali Fakan, I always like to ask authors when I have them on the round table with me, as we have different publications, and this is something that, of course, as you well know, Imam W.D. Muhammad asked us as a community to do, to write books, very, very important. Uh-huh. He authored books,
yes.
So many lectures and tapes that he's left with us and, you know, and all. But he knew how important it was to do that. So we no longer have a physical presence. There's something that we're leaving behind that others will be able to benefit from it. So I want to ask you, in terms of this last publication, which is only one word, say,
yes.
Your inspiration, your motivation for that, this authorship on this book, say, Imam Wali Fakan.
Well, yes, what I do, I'm a student, as the Imam has invited us to do, to read the Quran. And one of my habits is to read the Quran nightly. I get up for tajwid prayer, and I read the Quran. And over the years, what I've done, I made notes. I read an ayat, and I make notes.
Mm-hmm.
And as I told you, we talked. I got a bag full of notes that I've taken from the Quran. And I would read something, and it would just hit me and spare me, and I'd just write it down, a little note of it. So later on, I would refer back to it, just reach in my little bag of notes, and just read, perhaps, there's one right here, that is just a note, and it says, they plotted and planned, but Allah plotted and planned. And Allah is the best planner. So going back over my notes, I would see things and read things, and I'd just start putting them down. And the most important thing that I saw, that the word say, akul, is constantly mentioned in the Quran. And one of the, as I started my book, introduced my book, say, and it say he is Allah, the one and only, Allah the eternal, absolute. He begit not, nor is he begitting, and there is none like unto him. And the recitation of this surah, Ikhlas, is likened to, or like the recitation of one-third of the Quran. So most of us, when we recite in our cook bars, Juma cook bars or whatever, we would recite one surah, but we always would recite this surah, because of its importance as it relates to the Quran. So when I thought about what we should be doing, Allah says in the Quran, that we should, once he and his prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and our beloved Prophet Muhammad, once he and his prophet have made a decision, then we have no decision in the matter. So we should only say what Allah and his prophet said. So what I've done, this is just this is a reference book. What I've done, I introduced this book with 10 chapters. And the chapters are something, it's just an opportunity to get a start. It's not the finished product. It's something that a reader, a student of the Quran, can look into it, and he can take it further. But what I would do, I would go to a particular subject, and the first subject matter I dealt with is the Quran. And the chapter is, chapter one, that the believer's first source of reference is the Quran. So what I did with that, I recited that the first surah that was revealed to our beloved Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it was Surah 96. So I backed up that particular surah Al-Alaq, and then what I would do, I would go to the Quran, and I would pick out particular ayahs that support that surah. And Allah says the best support for the Quran is the Quran.
Mm-hmm.
The best support. There are no other support that supports the Quran better than the Quran itself. So this is what I've done. So I'm inviting those persons who are interested in studying the Quran. This is a small pamphlet, a small book that you can get. And do your research. Do your study. Read it and just say what is said and make some comments, but make your comments supported by Quran. So that's what I got.
Yes, alhamdulillah. Yeah, excellent. Thank you so much, for that. And, I don't claim to be much in terms of a scholar or anything and learn even the Quranic Arabia. But cool, when that is said in the Quran, it is, and I know in the four cool surahs of the Quran, talking about Al-Anas, Al-Falaq, Al-Ikhlas, as you mentioned, and Al-Kafirun, that
yes,
it begins with cool in terms of say, but in the Quranic Arabia, this would be said in command form.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
In command form in terms of say. And I do think that even just like what you just gave in terms of Surah Ikhlas, Huli Allah Ahad, He Allah is one, alone and exclusive. Background there. Okay, let's make sure we have the mics closed here. Okay, and so not only is it that, the verbalization of it, I'm looking at this Imam Wali also in the demonstration of this. Allah tells, through the Prophet Muhammad, would he give the revelation to say? But then,
yes, sir.
That's the verbalization. But now, the real, I think, work, for believers, and I want to get your reflection on it. The real work for believers is the demonstration of say, He Allah is the one and only exclusive Ahad, not Wahid, but Ahad. So then to try to make our life compliance with that in terms of living the Quran, how important is that from your perspective, Imam Farkan, the demonstration of the Quran as we follow the Prophet Muhammad? Of course, we say that we follow him, but how important is that? The verbalization is first, but ultimately the importance of application demonstration. Imam Farkan?
Mark, I've heard you say this several times, and I support that what you said, is that we're in the masjid or we're in the churches or whatever,
mm-hmm.
but is that demonstration, is that idea, is that participation in us? And my wife, her and I, we were talking, Linda, Sister Linda and I, and she said she went out to dinner with my niece.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, my niece had invited another person from her church with her.
Mm-hmm.
We were just talking about this yesterday. And she said mm-hmm. the lady was, her language was so poor, so bad, and
mm-hmm.
so unchurchlike. So my wife,
mm-hmm.
said, she asked her, said, did you just come from the church? And he said, yes, I did. And she said, well, I'm not accustomed to people talking like that, just coming from the church. So, you know, she had been to church, but the church wasn't in her. I don't think that's customary. It's not customary for us, you know, to have a foul language when you come from the, you know, and, you
yeah.
know, you just left a good cultural, holistic environment. So that should have
mm-hmm.
followed you home. You should have tucked that with you. But a lot of times what we do as Muslims, Christians, Jews, or whatever,
mm-hmm.
that which we read is not which we express. So reading the Quran, reading the Gospel, reading the Injil, the Torah, those, the words should be expressed outwardly. So I'm reading
mm-hmm.
the book. So what Allah has said to me, I should express that in my everyday life with my wife, my children, in the
yes.
masjid, in my work. That should be an expression. I
yes.
don't, you know, I tell my wife, you know, and I brothers and sisters, you know, I have a saying, not my saying, but I always say alhamdulillah. Matter of fact, I said so often when the young brothers, when they was younger, they used to call me alhamdulillah. Here come on alhamdulillah. Here come on alhamdulillah. But that is sufficient. Allah,
yes.
that's the best prayer. It's the best prayer. And what we should do, we should exhibit what we say we believe in. So I believe
yes.
in the Quran. I believe in our beloved Prophet Muhammad. I believe in our leader, Imam Waqi Muhammad. I believe
mm-hmm.
in all the things that Allah had asked us to believe in and for us
mm-hmm.
to say, not only verbally, but physically also. I should be a demonstration
yes.
of what I believe in.
Yes, alhamdulillah. No, you know, alhamdulillah, you know, praise be to Allah, you know, Imam Fakhan. I'm so glad to hear you, you know, I'm so glad to hear you say that because the compliance, the congruency, if you will, in terms of our words and what it is that we say, but also our action, our behavior, demonstration of that, because as we follow the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the prayers and the peace be upon him, we're not just only following what it is that was revealed to him. We are to do that. You know, we are to say what it is, yes,
yes,
that was revealed to him. But even more so, we are saying it a lot louder in terms of actually demonstrating that. You know, I've always been curious how many people came to this way of life during the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just through the
mm-hmm.
demonstration of the Quran.
Yes.
You know, and
yes,
that's
sir.
Very important. And we see that even Mecca at that time, with the Prophet coming back 10,000 strong, he didn't arm anybody, and that whole peninsula converted. So alhamdulillah, and it was because they saw the demonstration of the Quran, as you
Allah
well know, his wife Aisha, rahimahullah Anna,
mm-hmm.
You know, said that this was his life. I know often it said it was in motion or walking, but this
yes,
was
sir.
His life. He lived the Quran. Very, very important. You know, if you have your book there, I wanted to ask you this because another interesting chapter in terms of truth. I do have an idea. I'm working on my book. I haven't completed it, nor have I published it yet. But I know I think I know somewhat in terms of what is common in most authors, and I want you to respond to this. You know, as you, this is coming to you as a law, is inspiring you in terms of your authorship, and all as you put together the chapters. This one on truth that you're really emphasizing in terms of truth in the Quran. Do you recall when you made this a part in the construction of this latest publication, say, just what your thinking was and the objective
sure.
you wanted to
Chapter 3, Truth
convey?
Has Arrived. Is that the one? Truth Has Arrived.
Truth Has Arrived. Yeah, Truth Has
yeah,
Arrived.
Yeah.
Yeah, can you just give us a little something in regards on that, if you would, Imam Afrikaan?
Yes. In reading the Quran and trying to express what we've read, what we've seen, Allah says, and this was what I did, I had a surah 2, ayat 148. Allah says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, to each is a goal to which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turns him. Then strive together as in a race toward all that is good. Wheresoever you are, Allah will bring you together. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has power over all things. And what I did with this, Mark, I made a comment. And my comment was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has turned all of humanity in one direction away. And that direction is toward all that is good. So all striving, parenthesis jihad, should be with the righteous toward all that is good in a competitive race. The finality
mm-hmm.
of the race is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we should, as Muslims, Christians, Jews, people of faith, we should always be striving toward that is good. Because
mm-hmm.
what God does, God rewards the good that we do, and the good deeds are the only thing that will be acceptable in the hereafter. So what we should seek the pleasure of Allah, and the pleasure of Allah is that of doing good.
Yes. Alhamdulillah, that's excellent. And, you know, I like that what you said in terms of toward all that's good, all that is halal, that which is healthy and permissible. But, you know, it's not that everybody the goal would be the same for everybody. Now,
mm-hmm.
in the Quran, and just get your reflection on this, is that the purpose for our creation is collective in terms of we were created to worship, serve, and Imam Muhammad say, for God's purpose, but to each he's given a goal too. Your goal may be different from my goal, or from
mm-hmm.
Brother Rashid's goal, or Sister Quran's goal, or anybody's goal, even our spouse's goal, or what, you know, a family member,
mm-hmm.
or other community members, or friends, or associates, they may have different goals, you see, but it all should be under the goal to serve Allah's purpose for us being. Your reflections on that, if you will, Imam Afrikaan, I think that's this is very important. So your reflections.
The final goal is to Allah. Yes, the final goal is to Allah. And don't matter, it doesn't matter what we serve in this life. It does matter, but the finality is to Allah. So as we strive, husbands, fathers, wives, children, business persons, male, female, We are directed to engage ourselves in this world. Hopefully, inshallah, that engagement will be toward what is good, what is righteous. But in the end, we will be judged, and Allah will judge us accordingly to all the good deeds that we have done and reward us accordingly. So
yes.
What we want to do, inshallah, as a, you know, we invite our children, our family, our community, we invite them to do that which is halal, and stay away from that which is haram. So we want to appeal to our family members to do that which is right. And I want to be that person that my children, that my community can say, yes, that brother, as far as I know, his outward appearance has been trying to achieve that which is good. So
yes, alhamdulillah.
We are, as a community, as we are dedicated to that, we're going to attract people, and we're going to be a community that would be that community that Allah says is the best of community if we strive to be, to do good and to invite others to do good.
Yes, that's right. You know, and yes, very, very important, and we should be always encouraging the good, our children, the good,
yeah.
Because it's very important. The good deeds, none of them are overlooked, regardless of how small or insignificant you may think. Everything is recorded, so you want to make sure that the good deeds outweigh the bad deeds. So we always want to always convey that message to our children. Want to say to our radio listening audience, those who made it tune in a little bit late, you're listening to the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable here on IWDM Radio. And I have as my very distinguished, esteemed guest here from the STL, the Gateway City of St. Louis, and the Show Me State of Missouri, Imam Wali Fakan. His latest publication is Say. And he's using ayats from the Quran where Allah actually used the word say, cool, say. And we're having a very, I think, intriguing discussion, dialogue, importance of this command that Allah is giving in the Quran that he revealed to his messenger, the Rasul, the messenger of Allah, and the peace be on him. And this is for all of us. And so if you have any questions or comments for our distinguished guests, or if in fact that the conversation that you're hearing is resonating with you, we invite you to press 1, and my engineer will alert me that you have your hands up and that you want to ask a question or make a comment. So before we go back to this dialogue with Imam Wali Fakan, I want to ask Rashid Salam, do we have any callers in the queue with their hands up wanting to ask a question or comment to Imam Fakan?
As-salamu alaykum, brother. Alhamdulillah. I just want to – this is your brother Rashid Salam from St. Louis.
We got the brother Rashid.
We have the trifecta on today. We got 3 STLs on the line. So I just want to give a greeting. And we have quite a few callers in, but no one has raised their hand yet.
Okay.
So we can continue the show.
So, don't be shy out there. You know, this is your round table, the MGM round table. And, of course, I know that those of you all listening, and hopefully what you're hearing from our special guest, Imam Wali Fakan, hopefully it can be inspiration and can inspire you aspiration to become an author, something that Allah has inspired you with and in terms of actually sharing, because this is also a command from Allah in terms of saying spin out of what it is that we have given to you. Imam Fakan, this is your 3rd publication, so if you would,
yes,
for our radio listening audience, you had 2 previous publications prior to
mm-hmm.
that. And so can you give the name of those publications, if you would? And at this time, also, I want to give you time now to say where they can actually be purchased. And then before we conclude, I'll give you another opportunity to disseminate that information.
Yes, thank you. Mark, may I say also, my wife and I have a good friend, and her name is Lydia Muhammad, and she's out of Memphis, Tennessee, and she edited this book, Say. So
oh.
We like to thank her. She's a
Yeah, Sister Lydia. Yeah, I'm familiar with Sister Muhammad.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie.
Yes,
and hopefully she's tuned
she
in
and book, we,
listening in.
And we like
yes.
to thank her. Thank her.
Yes,
she,
sir.
She's a, so she corrected a lot of my mistakes, and we thank her very much. The other two publications, our first publication was A Free Mind in the City. That language, you may have brought us into that concept, idea of mind, man mean mind. So the first publication, and this book was published, I think, in 2011. Yes, 2011.
Mm-hmm.
Free Mind in the City, and, you know, it was about my family and I growing up in a rough section of St. Louis, a very rough section. Well, St. Louis have a lot of rough sections, but the section we lived in was terrible. And my wife and I, we raised six kids in that particular area, and they all, well, they attended Christ's Grammar School when they were younger. Until they graduated from the eighth grade or from the sixth grade or whatever, and then they went to the public schools. But the book is about being in that environment, drugs, prostitution, a lot of serious crime within there, but keeping our children out of that. Having them in Muhammad School, my wife, she was teaching at the time. So we were free from that. Our mind wasn't encumbered by the environment we live in. So that's that title, Free Mind in the City, resonates to what the man has told us, that, you know, we're not influenced by the environment we're in a negative way. And our next book was called Damaged Goods in Black and White, America, We Have a Problem. And there again, I took one of the ideas that the Imam had said to us about that image, that image of Jesus Christ on the cross, and how that image was the most damaging thing in our lives as a human person, as a human being, putting Jesus Christ on the cross and saying that he was our Savior, and that we were to be saved only by saying that he was the Son of God and he came to rescue us, and that in turn would be our salvation. So there were certain things that I said damage us, but I said that was number one. And I went on to say other things like, first I expressed that message of concern, what the Imam said, that what would happen if people would sit in churches throughout the world for centuries and would, with the image of an African-American man as the savior of the world before them, what would this do to the mind of the world's children? What would happen to the world's children put on the figure of a particular race presented pitiable and in pain, the savior of all men? And Allah says, there again, we go to the Quran. Allah says, say, O people of the book, come to common terms as between us and you. That we worship none but God, that we associate no partner with him, that we erect not from among ourselves lords and patrons other than Allah. And then they turn back, say, we bear witness that we at least are believers bound to God's will. So in this book, we say there are 13 things that destroy us or damage us, that being the primary one, that image. And I would just use one other, then we go back to say. It says the thing that destroys us most, destroy any permanent black male imagery in his history, prepare before the history can become before that history can become influenced in the society. So step two, so we destroy. We destroyed Malcolm. We destroyed Noble Drew Ali. We destroyed before any imagery. In matter of fact, to a great degree, we tried to destroy the Abdullah Muhammad. And what that does is that we don't have the influential black male figure in our life, because in a lot of our life, we don't see our father as being influential. So we look outside of our family life for a Malcolm, for Abdul Elijah Muhammad, for Farrakhan, for Imam Worthy Muhammad. So those figures sometimes are restored before they become influential in our lives. So that's how young black boys, men, women in our community, they don't have influential figures in their lives because they've been restored. So the whole concept of the book is seeing how things have been put into our lives, like saying that the black woman don't need a husband. She don't need a male figure to be in her life, that she can be the male as well as she can be the female as well as the male. So that is destructive. Telling our young black boys that the only thing they can be is good athletes, football players, baseball players, basketball players. I never. Our son played football, but one is a physicist and the other is an engineer, and both of them they went to Claire Muhammad School. They played football for Naval Academy. My son, the one that's a physicist, he's a nuclear engineer also, but he's a graduate of Claire Muhammad School. But I never, although they was athletes, I never put the emphasis on just being athletics. I wanted them to have a rounded education, but I never told them that the only thing they could do was play football or play basketball or whatever. So there are some damages that is done to us as males, and those damages destroy us before sometimes we recognize them. And this is why we have problems in America. America has those problems because America has siphoned and conspired to not let that black male child live, develop, that black male child. That black male child. Yeah. What Pharaoh said, look, we're going to destroy all the male child. So Pharaoh today is still active. And so we have to make sure that we save our males in particular, our family life. But that destruction, it's real.
Go ahead, Brother Rashid.
Yes, sir, we do have a hand raised. We have 219-318. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Okay.
Yes, Jamal Rashid in Gary, Indiana. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, assalamu alaikum to you, Dr. Jamal Rashid, and welcome to the MGM Roundtable, and a special guest, Imam Wale Farrakhan. You have a question, a comment for him.
I thought I would put my contribution in with the STL connection, since Rashid said that you all were there. You know, I had a connection by being in Jefferson City for 4 years, from 69 to 72 at the university at Lincoln.
Yeah.
But that's where I got my social science start, as far as in the sociological area of problem solving. So I look at, you know, the Show Me State as my home state as well. You know, and I had quite a few friends from the St. Louis area and East St. Louis. And so I look at you all as definitely homeboys. I was listening to you all mentioning about people being able to identify with their skills and to allow people to grow and develop and to support everybody when they are able to make contributions.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, you know, that goes into what I consider holistic education, where everybody have different skills or strengths, and we shouldn't, you know, override those who may not be in our same area, but to recognize that a strength is anything that, you know, somebody is able to make a contribution to the whole. And oh, so, you know, looking at, you know, back to St. Louis, I mean, to Jefferson City, you know, as you know, that's where the state penitentiary is, and it's been given national attention lately with the sister who was a former excellent star with the Men's National Basketball Association, where she sacrificed her career to help this brother get his trial overturned because he was innocently and wrongly incarcerated. And so, you know, that shows the light of where, you know, there are millions of our people who are still incarcerated in the physical sense. But the multi-millions who are incarcerated on the spiritual and the mental sense outside of the walls. So, you know, we have a chance of trying to, and that's what we are doing when we listen to programs like you all are doing tonight, is to try to shed light towards the real freedoms that it extends and extends and it moves on, and especially in the wars that of diversions that are going on today. So, you know, I can move on and talk to a lot more things, but I just wanted to make that comment.
Thank you so much, Dr. Jamal Rashid. And I want to just say to Iman Wadifakan and to our radio listening audience, Dr. Jamal Rashid is one of the very distinguished host there on the sister station AM 360 radio each and every Thursday morning. And you can hear him and his co-host Henry Hasid on the production of Solutions for Critical Issues. I always listen to it each and every morning. It starts at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 a.m. Central Standard Time, and 4 a.m. Pacific Coast Time. It's an early show, but it's worth staying up after Salatu Fajr and listening in. They always have very interesting, intriguing topics on that show, and they always invite you to call in, not only to listen in, but to chime in on some of those topics. So that's each and every Thursday morning on AM 360. And, of course, you can be a participant on AM 360 radio with Solutions for Critical Issues, Dr. Jamal Rashid. So I want to give thank you so much for calling. I want to give Iman Wali Fakan opportunity, if you'd like to respond to Dr. Jamal comments or what, Iman Wali Fakan?
Yes, I'm familiar with the case. Matter of fact, his sister, she was educated in the Women's National Basketball Association, and the brother that that she got associated with, they got married. Matter of fact, they're married now, and she was able to get him out of the prison. He had been falsely accused. And that, unfortunately, for our community, we were always hearing those incidents where black men has been incarcerated falsely and spent years. And I had a friend when we had a program years ago, we invited him. His name was Sage. And I met him when I was the imam, one of the imams, Muslim imams at Menard Prison. And he was very intelligent. Matter of fact, I was the imam on death row, and he worked on death row as the legal clerk. And the man was so smart, and this brief was so well put together that when he got out of prison, Northwestern University, their law school, hired him to be over that a program for filing briefs to get people out of prison, the Innocent Project, it was called, out of Northwestern University. And he'd done an exceptional job. So we do have individuals who are incarcerated and wrongly, and there are persons who, like the sister he was talking about, that see those persons, and she quit. She stopped playing basketball. She's an outstanding player, female player. And she worked on this brother's case, and they fell in love, and they got married. But this is some of the things that are doing us good.
Mm-hmm.
And I would think Allah says for the reward for doing good is 10 times the good itself. So I would think people would be rushing to do good instead of rushing to do bad.
Yes.
The reward is 10 times. Yeah. It's 10 times. It's not 10%.
Yes.
It's 10 times.
Yeah, Imam Wali Fakan, let me also say about Dr. Jamal Rashid, when we talk about very distinguished, esteemed authors, he has multiple publications down through the years. And then he also had the honor, I think it's a great honor, I'm quite sure he would also affirm that, that Imam Muhammad actually recognized his literature contribution that he had made while the Imam was alive, and of course those who read the Muslim Journal, I'm not able to read anymore, but often you would see articles appear in the Muslim Journal by Dr. Jamal Rashid. So Imam Muhammad actually acknowledged him in terms of saying that his books should be in our homes and that we should read his book. Outstanding publication. So I just wanted to say that it's an honor always to have Dr. Jamal Rashid listen in and to offer commentary. So we're glad that you support his radio show each and every Thursday on Solutions for Critical Issues. Thank you so much, Dr. Jamal Rashid. Assalamu alaikum.
Quite welcome. Well, they can listen. You're quite welcome.
Yes. Please press 1, Dr. Jamal, as you go out. Rashid, any other callers in the queue with their hands up? Want to ask a question or make a comment?
No, not. We don't have anybody yet, Mark. We have quite a
few
callers.
Okay, well,
you know. No one has raised their hand.
Okay, no one has raised their hand. Okay, so Imam Wali Fakan, I also know that ever since I've known you, you've always been the type of brother that's been very, very generous. And I say that with all honesty and integrity. I can actually affirm that, you know, just from my relationship with you, always been very generous to the community. And I know how much you value education. And that you know that education is our number one priority, of course. And just listen to Dr. Jamal Rashid talk about the incarceration and you also responding to that, that these type of publications, I see it as inroads for actually freedom. You understand, from some of the pitfalls that we find, especially our African-American males falling into, very, very important that they get this truth, that they understand what it is that God say. And he's saying that not only to Muslims, but he's saying it to all of humanity. So the Quran, we want it to be known to our radio listening audience. If you're listening in, you're not Muslim. You understand? It's okay to pick up the Quran and to read the Quran because this is a final revelation to all of humanity. It's not just for Muslims only. So let's dispel that misnomer. This is a final revelation to all of humanity where you will find that truth that Prophet Isa, Jesus, as Imam Wali Fakan was alluding to in terms of the picture that he painted. I see, you know, Imam Fakan, I see, you know, a parallel in your books, whereas that in the book Say, where you recited Surah 112 or chapter 112 there in Ikhlas, that as Imam Muhammad taught us, that the first two ayats actually say what Allah is or what who God is. And then the last two, it's only four verses in that. The last two verses say who God is not. Very, very important. Earlier, that the scholars have said that this is one-third of the Quran.
Yes, sir.
One third of the Quran. I mean, only four verses, but very powerful verses, as they talk about the purity of faith, of Iman faith. Very important.
Yes.
And I see a parallel there in your second publication, as you were kind of giving a synopsis of that in terms of images. And this is one of the graven images that have given the misconception, the misperception of who God is. And when I look at Ikhlas, you understand, it actually says who God is. Say, He, Allah, is the one and only exclusively. And that ahad means exclusive. That's an exclusive one. That's only for Allah. Not like wahid means one, but it could be one of different things. And then Allah Usamet, that He is the eternal, the absolute, no beginning, no ending. And He's independent of everything and everybody. Lamulet wa lamulat wa lamukuhu kufu wana ahad, that He's not born. I mean, that he doesn't father, nor is He born. That's who He's not. So it can't be Jesus. It can't be Muhammad. It can't be Abraham. It can't be anyone. You understand? He's above that.
Yeah.
He's the creator. He's not the father of any child, and nor is He born. And there's nothing that's comparable or like Him. I see that Imam Furqan, as you talk about the second book in terms of say, this is very, very important. Just think in terms of the liberation, that truth that Prophet Isa ibn Maryam, that is Jesus, the son of Maryam, if this is the truth that will truly set us free, you know, as in our individual life, but also collectively. Your comments, if you would, please.
Mark, you may want to take this call while you have a chance. We have another caller on.
Okay, we have another caller. Put that on hold there, Imam Owale Furqan, and we'll go to the caller, if you will. Okay.
Okay.
Let's go, Rashid.
We have 314-448. State your name and where you're calling from. Please, what am I expecting from St. Louis? So the call is yours. Open up.
I know that number.
314-448.
Your mic is open. Welcome to the MGM Roundtable. Your question or comment, please. Take yourself off of mute. You're on mute. We can't hear you.
Assalamu alaikum.
We can hear you now. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah. This is Imam Sahir via St. Louis, Missouri. And I've been listening. Alhamdulillah. I actually had I got into the conversation a little later, and I apologize for taking care of some errands. But what I did hear of the conversation is that I can attest that Brother Wali is a very generous Muslim. He's always trying to help the believers. And, and I appreciate the brother and his efforts to educate the believers, because there's no greater gift of contribution that you can make toward the human life than education, because education is the key that frees the bondsman. It takes the chains off. It removes the shackles. You see, so even when you talk about incarcerated populace of men and women that we see here in America, most of them who have any kind of affiliation or true association with Al-Islam, they never have to deal with that paradox in their life again, because Allah frees them up from that and the trappings of being in that situation. So keep doing what you're doing, Brother Imam Wali. We love you, man. We appreciate your efforts. And I'll support you in whatever you got going on, brother. So if you need some help, you know, feel free to call me. And it's like that. There's no inconvenience. So anytime my phone stays on, 24/7, you know, so keep doing what you're doing, brother. And also, too, before I conclude, thank you, Brother Mark, you know, because as you know, we talk often, and that is the number one priority is education for us. And I'll say this real briefly, and I'll conclude. Education is akin to the parable, and it says that if you give a man a fish, right, you feed him for a day. But if you teach him how to fish, he eats for a lifetime. That's the equivalent to education. You give education, proper education, people become independent instead of trying to the trappers in life. They don't have to rely on anybody else to feed them. So alhamdulillah. Thank you, dear brother. I'll be clear with that. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Alaikum wa rahmatullah. Look, I want to say that's Imam Sahib Beya, you know, one of our young adult imams, very learned imams in this community of Al-Mu'minun Islamic Center here. And just want to also give him a little plug here on the MGM Roundtable. He actually facilitates halal life topics each and every Sunday, each and every Sunday. You know, I don't think we can ever get too much of Al-Islam, and he does an excellent job doing that each and every Sunday. If you take down this number, it's 410-989-5688. That's 410-989-5688. Tune in. If you're in the Eastern Standard Time Zone, it'll be 7 p.m. each and every Sunday night. If you're in the Central Standard Time Zone, it'll be 6 p.m. for you each Sunday night. And if you're out west, it'll be 4 p.m. It's really, I think, exhilarating. It's actually very substantive information, exchange of believers across the country that actually tune in. And they always have topics that you can listen in. Yes.
May I, before we close, what my wife and I want to do, I have a 501c3 called PATOY, paying attention to our youth. And what we want to do with each Qari Muhammad School system.
Yeah, I was going to get to that, brother. I was going to get to that. I'm just going to look. I haven't forgot. I haven't got. I'm going to give you opportunity. I got you, brother. No, brother, you've been doing this for a while.
Thank you
so very
much.
I haven't forgot that. I mean, just wanted to get the caller in and give him a plug in terms of what it is that he's doing. You're my guest, and just want to give him some recognition on national radio for those who might want to tune in on Sunday evening to halal life topics. I don't think we ever get enough in terms of education, especially Islamic education. That's all good for us. And, the question I had asked, if you want to respond to that, just saw the parallel there because we're getting to the close to the end here, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that. I was saving the best for last, okay, in that regard. So if you want to respond to that in terms of how your book kind of parallels with your other publication in terms of the images, which your focus is there, and how these have actually been very misleading to us in that regard.
Yes.
But just going to the Quran again in terms of say, and for those who are not Muslims, this particular surah in the Quran, which is called Al-Ikhlas, sometimes translated, is the purity of faith in that regard. And what it is that actually God is saying, say, this is very important. So, Brother Imam, if you want to respond to that, I would appreciate it. I think that this would be some good enlightenment for our radio listening audience.
Yeah. In our book, in chapter 9, Prophet Issa, alayhi wa sallam, the son of Maryam, Surah 21, ayat 26 through 28. And they say, God most gracious has begotten offspring. Glory to him. They are but servants raised to honor. They speak not before he speaks, and they act in all things by his command. He knows what is before them and what is behind them. And they offer no intercession except for those who are acceptable. And they stand in awe and reverence to his glory. So my comment was sort of 5, and yet 116 and 120. Mm-hmm. So this is backing up this particular surah. And behold, Allah will say, O Isa, the son of Maryam, did you say to men, worship me and my mother as God in derogation of Allah? He will say, glory to you. Never could I say what was not right to say. Had I said such a thing, you would indeed have known it. You know what's in my heart, though I know not what is in yours. For you know in full all that is hidden. Never did I say to them aught except what you did command me to say, which was, worship Allah, my Lord, and your Lord. And I was a witness over them while I dwelt among them. When you did take me up, you were the watcher over them, and you are a witness to all things. If you do punish them, they are your servants. If you forgive them, you have exalted and empowered the wise. Allah will say, This is a day on which the truthful will profit from their truth. There are gardens with rivers flowing beneath. There are a ton of homes. Allah well pleased with them, and they with Allah. This is the great salvation, the fulfillment of all desires. To Allah does belong the dominions of the heaven and the earth, and all that is in, and all that is therein. He is He who has power over all things.
And that means that surely Allah speaks the truth for those who don't understand anything in terms of Arabic. I say Takbir, Allahu Akbar,
Allahu Akbar,
Alhamdulillah. That's beautiful, brother Imam. I can't answer it any better. You know, like you said in the very beginning, that Imam Muhammad said, Tafsir Quran, Bil Quran. That the tafsir, the clear explanation of the Quran by the Quran, is the best. And Allah is all-knowing, and He is the best knower. And so whatever it is that He says, He can back it up in His book. He can define the terms and all in the Quran itself. So thank you so much for that. And, you know, as we get toward the end, I do want to give you opportunities, as I was saying earlier, that you're very generous in terms of what it is that you've done in this community and perhaps other places that I'm not even aware of, you know, even in the penal institution for years when you were going there and weren't getting paid. You know, now many of the chaplains and all, you know, they go in regularly. They actually are compensated, but you were going in at a time that there was no monetary compensation, but nevertheless,
yes,
you and others that I'm aware of in our community here was making long trips to give your time and attention to those who have been incarcerated and trying to liberate them with the teachings of Al-Islam. So when we say education is the number one priority, we think about the schools that have been established and those that are still standing, and they in dire need of financial support and all. I'm very much aware of the fact that you want to make a special announcement in terms of a special contribution you and your wife want to make. So at this time, the mic is yours in terms of that announcement, Imam Wali Fakan.
Yes, sir. What we want to do is, starting out with our school first, we're going to start here in St. Louis and any other school that would like to participate. We're just going to Muslim Journal. But we've got these books, the three books, they would, if you combine them together, they would total retail for $40. So what we're going to do here in St. Louis with our school here, our head person, Dr. Medina Wakil. So we're going to donate 10 sets of books. So each set would be worth $40. And we're going to donate those books to the school, and they in turn can sell that set. So for the 10 sets, they would have coming into the school $400. nobody gonna have to pay anything. We gonna send the 10 sets out to Atlanta, to Jacksonville, to Miami, to any school, any Claremont school that is listed in the Muslim Journal, or any school that would contact us. We would send them 10 sets, and each school would have, all that the believers have to do would purchase the books, and all the money would go to their Claremont school, inshallah. But that's what we want to do, and we would like to do that to all the Claremont schools throughout our association. So we're going through, we're going to look, my wife, Sister Lynn and I, we're going to look in the Muslim Journal. We know some of the schools are not listed in the Muslim Journal. I don't think Medina, my friend, Brother Imam Sharif, I don't know if he lists his school there, but I know he got a school where they're contemplating on starting school. So, but
yes,
that's what we want to do. So that would be $400. All the believers have to do is just purchase from their masjid, purchase a set, and all that money would go into the Claremont school system.
I want to say takbir. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah. So I'm hoping that the believers are hearing that. And as you heard, email Wale Farkan, if he overlooked your city or what, a part of this community, Association Imam W.D. Muhammad. And I understand that there are a couple of two or three schools that's not under Clara Muhammad for different reasons. I think that they have one that's in Detroit that's not under the label of Sister Clara Muhammad, but nevertheless an Islamic school in all.
Yes.
So if you hear that, get the word out. This is an opportunity to bring some finances to much-needed schools that we do have that's established and all through Imam Wale Farkan and his wife, Linda Muhammad Farkan. You know, I think it's, you know, so very thoughtful and kind gesture, but also this is like, say, this is a demonstration, really, you know, what it is that Allah is given to us in the Quran, just not the verbalization, but the demonstration of that. And Allah says, spend out of that which it is that we have provided for you. So to make this available, this packet, what he's saying, these three books that he has authored in his most latest in terms of say, combined with the other two publications, it is a packet that will sell for $40 and will send 10 packets to those cities that have the Clara Muhammad School or in association with Islamic school, full-time schools, and they can actually sell that to the believers there, $40 a packet, 10 packets, that's $400. You know, and I know that our schools could use the money. But, you know, we're trying to reopen our school under the leadership and directorship of Dr. Medina Wakil here in St. Louis. And I'm quite sure those schools that are open can really use the money and will really appreciate it. I want to thank you so much, Imam Wale, you know, for being my special guest here on the MGM Roundtable and sharing your knowledge and insight and also your inspiration and motivation for the authorship and how Allah has inspired you to write and to answer the call of our beloved Imam Warthuddin Muhammad Rahim Allah and who in terms of writing, you know, putting the ink to paper and,
yes, sir,
you know, type of publications that can help in the liberation. Yes. Okay, so we had a little glitch there and everything. So I want to thank our very special guest tonight in the MGM Roundtable, Iman Wale Furqan from the STL here, a very distinguished, esteemed author, in his latest publication, Say.
You have another hand raised here if you want to take that call.
Oh, another hand? Oh, okay. Well, we'll go ahead and get this hand here and see what they would like to say or a question they may want to ask.
You have 901-265. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Yes, this is Linda Muhammad Furqan. I'm calling from Memphis, Tennessee.
I'd first like to
thank you, Brother Mark, for having us on to talk about the books. And thank you, Wale, for being such a intriguing person to listen to. But what I would like to say is that to any of those listeners that are hearing and are interested in having books donated to their school, if you would email us at waletheauthor@gmail.com. Again, that email address is waletheauthor@gmail.com.
Okay. Is that all like one word? Everything's
all written together. Wale, the author, at gmail.com.
At gmail.com. So hopefully you got a pen and pad and you take down that email address. And that way that you can be in touch with Iman Wale Furqan and Sister Linda Muhammad Furqan, and they can get your mailing address, and they can get those packets out to you. So I think that this is a wonderful thing, you know, that Allah has put on their hearts to do in terms of helping the Clara Muhammad School, who are in dire need of financial aid and support across the country. So make sure, Sister Linda, one more time, give them the email address, if you would, please.
Wale, waletheauthor@gmail.com. It's Wale, the author, at gmail.com.
Oh, boy. And that's all you have to do is send that to that email address, and they will get those packets out to you, and you can engage your community there in terms of purchasing the packet. $40 for the packet. 10 packets will be sent to you, and that will be $400 going to the coffers there for your school. And thank you so much, Sister Linda Muhammad Furqan, for coming on and providing that information so that these schools can actually benefit from your generous donation.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
Yes, ma'am.
Assalamu alaikum, Sister Linda.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum
assalam. Okay, Rashid Salam, is that it in terms of hands?
That's it, my brother.
Okay, so we want to thank Iman Wale Furqan. You always have an open invitation here at the MGM Roundtable here on IWDM Radio. Keep up the great work. We know we're proud of you, and we love you, and as a servant of Allah. And these are the type of people that we want to have here at the the MGM Roundtable. Been on there so long, the MGM Roundtable, that's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. And next week, we want to say that we have another special guest, as we'll be looking at going to the DNA, that's the Detroit National Annual W.D. Muhammad Convention there in Inkster, Michigan. I have my good brother and friend who is the director of that. And he has confirmed that's Imam Munir Muhammad. He will be my special guest at the MGM Roundtable here next week. So you want to tune in, listen in, as he will be giving the layout for the convention. That will be a physical convention there in Inkster, Michigan. So we're going to have a lot of distinguished, esteemed guests that are doing some great things in our community, and we ask that you do tune in. We want to say before we leave you to most certainly tune in tomorrow to the Sister Learning Lab, which is the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, with our very distinguished and esteemed co-host and facilitator of that, Karan Shakir from the Jewel of the South, the ATL, will be joining me tomorrow, and that begins at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And we also want you to tune in for those who cannot get out and about to go to Salat to Juma. You can get it right here on IWDM Radio with my good brother and friend, Imam Mikhail Sahir of Anur Islamic Center there in Indianapolis, Indiana. His longtime resident imam there. So you can tune in for the Salat to Juma. And it begins at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM, Salat to Juma. And also on Sunday, probably the longest-running production here on IWDM, Words Make People, once again hosted by the very distinguished, esteemed Imam Mikhail Sahir. And he always have very distinguished, esteemed guests, and he also have topics that are pertinent to us as a community. And that begins at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 12 noon Central, and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. And we will be announcing, surprise, some other productions that are coming to the airways of IWDM. I'm really excited about that. But inshallah, perhaps next week, we'll be ready to make those announcements as to when their debut will actually happen here on IWDM Radio. So please stay tuned to that. And also, I want to say that inshallah, next week, we'll look to have a little music on here. I like music. I just think that brings a certain refinement to our productions and all. And if you benefited tonight from listening in to the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with Dr. Patricia Slaudine and myself, and the MGM Roundtable with our special guest tonight, Imam Wale Fakan, don't keep it a secret. Let members in your family know. Let your friends know. Let your neighbors know. Let the community members know to tune in to IWDM Radio. Is always something that you can benefit from. So don't keep it to yourself. Make sure you let it be known. I want to also send a special thanks to our very distinguished and esteemed engineer and co-host of the MGM Roundtable. That's my good brother and friend, Rashid Salam, always doing an excellent job. I appreciate the professionalism that he shows each and every Wednesday here on IWDM Radio. I want to say kudos to him. I want to thank the radio listening audience for tuning in, and for those who have called in, my good brother and friend, Dr. Jamal Rashid, and also our beloved sister, Linda Muhammad Fakan, calling in and disseminating that information as to how you can actually get funds to help your school across the country. Very, very important. So please take advantage of that. And so I want to say, until next time, this salam is for you and yours. May God's peace be with you now and always. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, my good brother.
Alhamdulillah.